As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we'll talk tomorrow. I got to love Joe throwing a little fantabulous in there. Absolutely. It was a great outing for Michael Fulmer, but I know that's not what we're going to be talking about on Blue Jays Talk. An 11-1 loss after a 19-1 loss after a 12-2 loss. That's three of the Blue Jays' last five games. Jays have won 5 of 8, but the three losses have been massive blowouts, and it's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. Now, I get the whole, you know, there was a lot of optimism after last night. It's all gone now tonight. Well, you can't have expected, because they won last night, they weren't going to lose another game, or that they were going to go on an 8-game win streak. Baseball doesn't work like that. So if you were optimistic after last night, you should be just as optimistic tonight. The fifth starter got hurt, and a guy who had had an ERA of 6 since coming off the disabled list. So if the Blue Jays have to be without Francisco Liriano for a while, it's certainly not the end of the world the way he was pitching. But we shall see. They're going to have to bounce back, see if they can win the series tomorrow, go into Boston, and continue what needs to be a good road trip. Right now, they're 4.5 games out of the second wildcard spot behind the New York Yankees, who are currently in a 1-1 tie with the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park, a game that started 2 hours before this Blue Jays-Tigers game, but they are now in the bottom of the 14th inning. And the Yankees have gone to their closer, Aroldis Chapman, in a 1-1 tie in the 14th. We'll keep an eye on that for you. We'll have the phone lines open, taking your calls to the bottom of the hour across the network, and till 10 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. You know the numbers. I'll give them to you anyway. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And before we get to the calls, this afternoon, Julie DeCaro, who is a sports radio host in Chicago, tweeted out about just a general question: do women listen to sports talk radio? And there were a few responses from some women in the Toronto area, or at least on in Canada, on this side of the border, saying that, yeah, they listen to The Fan, our flagship station. They listen to this show. They listen to some other shows. And I put it out there then, and I'll put it out there now. If you are, give us a call. We want more women calling this show. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Aroldis Chapman, who walked in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth last night, just issued a leadoff walk in the bottom of the 14th. Very interesting, on 4 pitches. So very interesting to see how the Red Sox and Yankees are going to play this one, a 1-1 tie, again in the 14th inning. To the phones we go. Ryan in Mississauga, you're going to lead things off. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about a couple things.
Sure.
So I've been generally pretty optimistic about the Jays this year. I just looked at their run differential, and they're like negative 59 before this game. So I just wanted to know if you thought that was an important stat to look at when, I don't know, when we're getting towards the deadline. So that makes a big impact on their decision, do you think?
I think their decision's been made. I don't think that, you know, and we've talked about this over and over and over, and I guess we're going to keep talking about it all month, but I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be big buyers or going to be big sellers. The stuff they have to sell is stuff that nobody really wants right now. But the run differential, I mean, you look at the blowouts, the 7 blowouts this month, well, not this month and a half, since June 1st, the Blue Jays have given up double-digit runs 7 times. And you said their run differential was what, minus 59?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's minus 69 now, if that's the case. And you look back over these 7 double-digit runs allowed games, I think it's something like minus 58 over those 7 games. I have to check and make 100% sure. But so a lot of that is in a very few games, which indicates something, I guess. I don't know that it indicates rather a massive trend, but certainly the run differential is particularly ugly, yeah.
Yeah, and they're definitely not as explosive as they were the last 2 years. I also want to talk about Morales quickly. So far this year, with like a smaller sample size, he's been much better against lefties compared to righties.
Yeah, so last year too.
Yep. So do you think when he's facing righties, it might make sense to move him down, or do you think it just ride him out and just see if he can get through this? Or
look, 2 years ago he crushed righties and he was terrible against lefties. These are the vagaries of the switch hitter, and I don't understand it. I don't get why you can dominate as a right-handed hitter 1 year or dominate as a left-handed hitter the next year and go up and down. I know Kendrys Morales is better than this, certainly better than he's been over, I don't know, what feels like the last month or so, that he has really, really struggled. Take it back to when they went to Kansas City. And since then, that's 16 games. And with the 1-for-3 tonight, he's 10 for his last 61. He's not walking and he's not hitting for power. You got to assume that this is just a dip, because this is a guy who has been a very good hitter over, you know, his entire career. He's been a clutch guy, if such a thing exists. I don't think that such a thing exists, but he's hit over 300 with runners in scoring position the last 2 years. You know, this isn't, I don't think, an accurate representation of what the Blue Jays thought they were going to get from Kendrys Morales, what we've seen from him over the course of the last 3 weeks. So I think you do ride it out. I think it's a problem because he's not producing right now, and he's right in the middle of the lineup, and he's in the middle of a lot of things, a lot of rallies, and sort of like Troy Tulowitzki was not long ago when he wasn't hitting at all. But I think, yeah, I don't think you can just, you know, shuffle the lineup whenever a guy has a bad couple of weeks, because it's counterintuitive, I think.
Yep, and I think if we're going to make the playoffs, it's probably going to be with a big help from Morales, so might as well just stick him out.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to help, right? That's why he's here. Absolutely. For sure. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Ryan. We will continue to take your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And I'm going to go look that run differential up while we're in this break. Blue Jays lose it 11-1 to the Detroit Tigers. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Pitch drilled deep right field. Back for it, Bautista. That's gone. And it's 11-1 Detroit. A three-run home run. The other way by J.D. Martinez off Aaron Loop.
And there's your final score, 11-1. The Detroit Tigers beat the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, though, let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's blowout loss.
John, is there any update on the Rihanna yet?
No, they're checking it out. His neck tightened up, his neck muscle spasm, so we'll have a little better idea tomorrow, the next couple of days, I would think.
What do you think of his outing?
Well, he didn't last long. You could tell it started to affect him. You know, I mean, we've seen bouts of wildness occasionally, but, you know, and he just really lost it, and so hopefully it's no big deal. It was just one of those things, slept wrong or something, so.
Was Bolsinger battling anything physically towards the end there, or was that just him running out of gas?
Yeah, I don't think anything wrong with him. What, did you see something that I didn't?
Well, it just kind of looked like he had a little tick or something with his shoulder, his favoring shoulder on the mound.
Yeah.
Add it to the list?
No, I haven't heard anything yet anyway.
Fulmer, just could you talk about what you guys saw with him?
Well, I mean, he's one of the best young pitchers in the game. And you know, he gets a lead like that. The good ones, I mean, they're not gonna give in, and you know, you fall out of it so quick. That's what happens, you know. But he's tough. He's a good pitcher.
If Estrada gets into a situation tomorrow where he kind of runs into some trouble early, who would you maybe look to try to beat up some of those guys?
Well, I mean, we'd have Harrell would be our long guy. We'd be okay. You know, coming off an off All-Star break, so it wouldn't be ideal, but. You know, expect Marco to be good tomorrow, so.
Well, here's hoping. There's John Gibbons, says he expects Marco Estrada to be good tomorrow. Marco Estrada certainly hasn't been good since May. Since the end of May, actually, Estrada has a 9.46 ERA and has been just awful. So we'll see if the All-Star break did him some good. Hopefully it did. The Blue Jays could certainly use a win in the rubber match. They are 6 games under 500 right now, 4.5 games behind the New York Yankees for the second wild card in the American League. The Yankees are in Boston in a 1-1 tie with the Red Sox in the top of the 15th inning. And the Red Sox have gone to Doug Fister, who's supposed to start on Tuesday for them, to throw in this game to keep things alive. This is Blue Jays Talk. The last caller, or our only caller so far, mentioned the Blue Jays run differential, and I did the research. The Blue Jays' overall run differential this year is minus 69 after today's loss. That's not good. It's actually really not good. But what is interesting is that 7 times since the 1st of June, the Jays have given up 10 runs or more. They've lost all 7 of those games. And they've lost all 7 of those games by a combined 76 runs. So the Jays have a minus 69 run differential for the season and a minus 76 run differential in those 7 losses. So maybe you avoid getting blown out. Bring that run to, well, whether you can bring that run differential back to 0 or not, you start winning some more ball games if you just stop giving up double-digit runs. It's a good strategy. I think that should be employed across Major League Baseball. Back to the phones we go. Steve is in North York. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. I'm becoming almost a regular caller, beating the regular drum that Gibby must go. A few weeks ago, you challenged me in saying, why must Gibby must go? And tonight was a perfectly managed Gibby game.
Number one. 2 hits. That's Gibby's fault. Wait, absolutely.
Wait, number one. Okay. Why was Lariano starting? Okay, which is, you can
what?
Say, debatable.
No, you can't.
Why did Gibby set up the rotation after the All-Star game?
Yep.
Why was Lariano starting? And let's say you could debate that maybe he should have started. I don't think so.
Would you rather have him start against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway?
Yes.
Really? Then you got to not Gibby.
Detroit's been, I think, fourth against left-handed pitching this year. The Blue Jays, I don't expect them to win every game, but tonight they waved a white flag. And with bases loaded, 2 balls, Lariano goes out, and who does Gibby decide is the ultimate guy to bring in who must throw a strike, must try to get a pop-up or a ground ball for a double play? Who does he decide is exactly the right guy at the game-critical moment to bring in? And if that's the guy you would have brought in, I'll eat my shoes. I'll listen to your call and love your show, Mike.
Yeah, I don't want you to eat your shoes. Bolsinger's probably not the guy I would have gone to. I mean, you actually do have a point there. You don't have a point with anything else, but you have a point there. Look, I think that's baseball tradition is that you bring your long guy in there. You have the opportunity because Lariano was hurt to use anybody. So the fact that Bolsinger was the guy who was warming up certainly doesn't mean that Bolsinger is the guy you have to use there. Should be noted, he did get a ground ball. And if it was 5 feet to the left or 5 feet to the right, it's a double play and you're not calling into the show. But there were certainly better alternatives to Mike Bolsinger there. Ryan Tepera probably is the guy I would have gone with. Now, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know who can pitch, who can't out of that bullpen, how it's looking. But yeah, with Biagini and Barnes having gone yesterday, you're obviously not going to bring in Roberto Osuna at that point in a game. You lose your 8th-inning guy if you bring Ryan Tepera in that situation, but you give yourself a better chance of getting to that 8th-inning with the lead. Now, it's bases loaded, nobody out, J.D. Martinez and Victor Martinez coming up. So chances are you're giving up a run anyway, and you're probably giving up two. But, yes, Mike Bolsinger was not the best guy to use in that spot. Does that mean you fire John Gibbons? Absolutely not. Does that mean this loss is on John Gibbons when the Blue Jays managed two hits? Absolutely not. And the idea of why did you start Francisco Liriano? I don't want Francisco Liriano starting against the Red Sox. Nor should you. Thank you for the call, Steve. Let's go to Jennifer in Toronto. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Mr. Wilner. Follow up on that last one. Yeah, the second I said, oh, God, here it is. Bolsinger, 412 against average with right-handers in the bringing them in. Anyone would have been better. But so many other things. Seeing Steve Pierce in that horrible, horrible throw from left field.
Yeah, it was
if
bad
I
throw.
Have to see this left field debacle one more time. I mean, I know we got Pierce probably ideally to play first, a bit of second.
No, and no second.
And Smoke has pushed him in the left field.
Right.
And I understand that. But, man, I mean, that was it was just hideous. And I was upset because I was hoping, and maybe this is schadenfreude or whatever, or taking pleasure in someone else's pain. I wanted Fulmer to get a no-hitter. And the fact that he threw Morales, who has not hit anything but fastball, threw him a fastball. I was astounded. The man, except for that crappy hit to Tulowitzki, could have had a no-hitter. It's like you're throwing Morales a fastball? No one's throwing him a fastball. But there's a lot on this team, and the fact that Gibbons put Bolsinger in and gave up the game, and you know after we're behind 5-0. All the Jays are going to be hitting for the fences or doing nothing or checking out. That's what it seemed like. And every time I watch a game like this, it's like, thank God I didn't spend money on it.
Why do you even watch? I mean, you call here, you call this show so often, all you do is complain. I don't understand what sort of pleasure you get from watching baseball.
Pleasure. I've always watched every game, and I do. But, like, can you tell me then, honestly, Mr. Wilner, why were the coaches renewed?
Because they're all good coaches, and when you have good people who do their jobs well, you keep them, even if your team isn't playing well.
Point in the season.
What? Huh?
And why would they have done it, Mark Shapiro? Have done, like, renew the coaches. It just seems such a weird thing to do.
I think it was actually quite a good thing to do because, again, and I'll repeat it, if you have good people, you want to keep them. If they're, whether your team is doing well or whether your team is not doing well, you want to keep good people. And look at the San Francisco Giants. You know, they win a World Series, they go under 500. They win a World Series, they go under 500. They win a World Series, they go under 500. Does the manager get fired? No, the manager doesn't get fired because he's a good manager. You want stability in that position. And if you have a good manager, you keep a good manager whether your team is winning or not. And by throwing the coaches a vote of confidence doesn't mean you can't still fire them if you want to. But by renewing the coaches, you're saying, look, this team's not playing well. It's on the players. It's time for you guys to get your act together and start playing like you're supposed to be playing. This is not on the coaches. And I, for the life of me, don't understand how anyone can blame a coaching staff for a team underperforming to the extent that the Blue Jays have. It just seems to be the willingness of people to blame anyone but the players for their own poor performance. Blue Jays performed very poorly again today. They lost 11-1 to the Detroit Tigers. They have won 5 of 8, but those 3 losses have been by 10 runs or more. We'll come back and wrap things up as far as the network goes, but we will continue our Blue Jays talk until 10 p.m. Eastern time. Postgame show is brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. This is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Blue Jays losing 11-1 to the Detroit Tigers. Congratulations to Dodgers rookie Cody Bellinger. Just hit for the cycle. The Dodgers are leading the Marlins 7-0 in the seventh inning, and he just tripled for the cycle. Yankees and Red Sox tied 1-1 in the bottom of the 15th inning. Jays and Tigers wrap this series tomorrow afternoon. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. A 1:10 first pitch, Marco Estrada against Anibal Sanchez. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Here's how. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership, the Sportsnet Radio Network. Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Tom Rominski, and Sho Ali. I'm Mike Wilner. Blue Jays talk continues.
CJCL Toronto, Toronto's sports radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Listen live at sportsnet.ca/590 through the Sportsnet app or the Radio Player Canada app.
The Tigers blow out the Bluebirds. I'm Ben Lewis with this Sportsnet Central update from Comerica Park. Detroit went deep three times as they pounded Toronto 11-1.
Cabrera lines one deep to left center field. Here are some more. That ball is in the bullpen of the Blue Jays. A two-run home run for the great Miguel Cabrera. That's his 12th. And the Tigers go out in front 8-1 here at Comerica Park.
That's the call from Jerry Howarth, heard right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Cabrera, Nick Castellanos, J.D. Martinez, all with home runs. Francisco Liriano lasted just two innings, charged with five earned runs and walking four. He had to leave the game with neck tightness. The Jays offense managed just two hits all night. They fall to 42-48 on the season. Happening now on Sportsnet 1, in fact, still happening. Bottom of the 15th inning, and the Red Sox and the Yankees are tied at 1. Matt Holliday tied this one up in the bottom of the ninth, or in the top of the ninth, rather, with a solo shot off of Craig Kimbrell. And in Miami, Dodgers rookie Cody Bellinger has hit for the cycle as LA is leading that one right now, 7-0 in the bottom of the seventh. This Wimbledon update brought to you by Rogers Cup, bringing the best women's tennis players in the world to Toronto August 5th. To 13th, Garbiñe Muguruza is Wimbledon champion. The Spaniard topped 37-year-old Venus Williams this morning 7-5-6-love to capture the women's crown. Roger Federer will meet Marin Cilic in the men's final tomorrow morning. Honda Indy weekend in Toronto from Exhibition Place. It was Simon Pagenaud with the pole position today. He finished on top in qualifying with a track record time of 58.9124. Canadian James Hinchcliffe is in sixth. Shan Feng is one of three atop the leaderboard at 8 under par. At the U.S. Women's Open through three rounds of play. Smith Falls' Brooke Henderson is six back. And week four CFL action, BC leading Hamilton right now 24-16. You're listening to Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
2-2 pitch is drilled. That's hit a ton. Dives over the catcher, Molina, and he's safe.
Toronto Blue Jays baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Martin up, hits a fly ball to right. This will do it. Alex Presley is under it. Tigers win it 11-1. And somewhere up there, Ernie Harwell and Paul Carey are smiling. They made a great team on radio for years here in the Motor City.
That's how it ended. Jerry and Joe had been talking about Ernie Harwell as Jerry was reading off all the names retired and the wall just over center and right center at Comerica Park. Blue Jays lose 11-1 to the Detroit Tigers. It's their third loss in eight games. That's good. Five wins in eight games is good. But the three losses, 12-2, 19-1, and 11-1, that's not good. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I'm Mike Wilner. We are Blue Jays talking it up until the top of the hour. And I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't have said that to Jennifer. Why does she always call and complain? But, you know, when a caller says that in the second inning, a supposed Blue Jays fan says that in the second inning they were rooting for the opposition to get a no-hitter. The Blue Jays were down 1-0 in the top of the second inning, and she's rooting for Michael Fulmer to throw a no-hitter? How do you call yourself a Blue Jays fan and say stuff like that? I don't understand. Anyway, let's get back to the phones. Jordan is in Toronto. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Mike. We last spoke April 12th, I think it was, and we were talking about holes that the Jays are in, and I actually got ripped up a bit by Andrew Stoughton on his blog, and it turns out that you were right, that the Jays did actually get themselves out of that hole, and it's I'm disappointed they're kind of back in it now.
But I wouldn't say that they're back in it at all. Well,
they're not in a good spot.
No, they're not in a good spot.
No. Anyway, so but that's not the point of my call. The reason I was calling was I'm part of this group, Leafs Jays Rap Sports, and when things aren't going well, we talk about other things, and given that things didn't go that well, I'd rather not talk about an 11-1 loss. One thing that came up was the issue of trading within divisions.
Yeah.
And I'm not proposing this as a trade and looking at the validity specifically of this trade, but one of the ESPN articles that came out this week talked about Donaldson for Devers, who's a Red Sox prospect, third baseman.
Yep.
When that was brought up in the group, aside from a lot of people getting really upset about the prospect of losing Donaldson, which would make us all really upset, the issue of trading to a division rival came up. And I personally, and some of the guys in the group, agreed with me, and I want to get your thought on it, that trading to a division rival, even though it's not something that's typically done, may actually be a good thing for both sides. One of the big reasons I think that has to do with the fact that you're looking at windows. So, and I don't want to say that the Jays' window's over or anything like that, but avoiding that kind of controversy and that side of things, let's just say the Jays' window, they decided they didn't want to go for it next year, and they decided they were out of it this year. And this is hypothetical. I'm not saying that's the case, but let's say that that was the case. And the Red Sox think that they need a third baseman because Sandoval's gone and been DFA'd at this point and probably going to be leaving the organization. Then potentially the Jays give up Donaldson during some pretty good years that he's got left when the Red Sox need a third baseman, and the Jays would have a good prospect or maybe get him and some other guys during a period where they think that they might be more likely to compete. And now you're making your own division rival worse during the window when you want to be better, and it works for both sides that way.
Yeah, I don't have a major opposition to dealing within the division. I think for me, the harder part to do it is if you're on the other side of that conversation that you're talking about. The more difficult time is when you are the buyer. In the scenario that you put out, the Blue Jays get 7 years of Rafael Devers, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, to be honest, who is a top third base prospect, in exchange for a year and a bit of Josh Donaldson. And in the scenario, again, that you paint, the Blue Jays are throwing away 2018. So they don't care if Josh Donaldson faces them 18 times in Boston, with Boston next year when they're not planning to win anyway. And again, I don't think that that's the way it's going to play out, and you're suggesting that you don't necessarily think that either. But for me, I would be more reticent to give up the guy who is going to haunt me potentially for 6+ years. When I don't know whether I'm competing or not, you would imagine that you want to try to compete most of the time. So for me, that hurts more, is giving up the kid who most people, and again, prospects are still prospects, but who most people believe is going to be really, really good. And I got to face him for five years after the guy I got for him was already gone.
Yeah, I could see that being tough. And it's funny because, I mean, it's obviously a bunch of Jays fans, but the issue that people had was giving up Donaldson for the next year and a half. So that was actually the side that people were taking more in this discussion today. So
And I think that that's a side they should take. And because I don't think the Blue Jays are in the position where you can say, we're not going to compete in 2018. And I still don't think they're in a position where they can say, we're not going to compete in 2017. No matter how bleak things look right now, they're 4.5 games out of a playoff spot with no good teams in front of them. Like, none. Nobody's good. The Blue Jays haven't played well either. But there's not a single team that's ahead of the Blue Jays in the standings, in the wild card standings, who you would look at and say, oh, yeah, they're going to be tough to catch. They're all terrible. Well, that's mean. And it's not true. But they're all mediocre. All of them. And they're all full of holes. And most of them have more holes than the Blue Jays do, even though the Jays are the ones who are 4.5 back. So I certainly don't think closing the door on 2017 is a good idea, and I don't think you're in a position where you can blow the thing up anyway. But closing the door in 2018 at this point in time, with no, I think that's – so, yeah, they should be upset with the prospect of losing Donaldson, because Donaldson can help you win potentially twice more. But the whole trading inside the division, if I'm doing that, I think I want to be the seller. I want to get the kid who's going to haunt you for 5 years after the guy I gave you is already gone. Silvana is in Niagara Falls. I asked for more women to call. Got one. Welcome aboard. Thank you for calling.
Well, first time caller, and I'm so honored to talk to you.
No, come on.
I appreciate all the great wisdom and knowledge you share with us.
You're too kind. It's just a conversation. There's no honor involved. I am thrilled that you called. What's up?
Two things. First of all, I wanted to say the pitchers. I noticed, like you mentioned about the three games in the last eight that they've lost. Well, that's probably because we have some not so good pitchers on all the time. Like last year, we had pitchers more consistently better. This year, they don't seem to be as consistent. And then the second thing I wanted to say quickly was I wanted to ask you if your input on why is it that most people or some people have been talking about giving up some of our best players if they were going to do some selling when they're the ones that are hitting, somebody like Smoke. Why would you want to get rid of somebody who's actually working for you?
There is this mindset among some portions of sports fandom. Having done this for 16 years, I've heard it a lot, where it's, this guy's really good, let's see what we can get for him, as opposed to, this guy's really good, we should keep him. So there is a rush among some fans to want to trade good players because, and, you know, for years you could kind of understand it while the Blue Jays were sort of wandering through the whole good but good enough run of the 22 years where they weren't in the playoffs, always looking for the future and sort of not noticing what's right in front of them. This guy's really good. Let's see what we can get for him so that we can build for the future. But like that last caller said, if you're going to give up on 2018, which I think is a bad idea, then, yeah, you should trade Justin Smoke. And you should trade Josh Donaldson. And you should trade Jay Happ, because those are guys who, you know, you don't really have control over beyond 18, although Smoke's got an option for 19. But Justin Smoke is also, you know, for the Smoke idea, there's a lot of fantasy baseball players out there who say sell high, you know, trade this guy while he's at the peak of his value because he's never going to be worth more than he is now. And while that's the way fantasy sports work, that tends not to be the way that real life works, because, you know, you're not going to find the one or two dumb GMs in your league working in Major League Baseball saying, oh, this guy's had a half a good season and now he's a completely different guy than he's been for the rest of his career and I'm going to give you a lot of great stuff for him, tends not to happen. So I think that's another one of the reasons that there's a group out there that would like to see what the Jays can get, or believes the Blue Jays can get a whole big whack of stuff for Justin Smoke right now.
You should keep the ones that are actually able to do something, because they're the ones that are still managing to do something, like Jose Bautista tonight. He managed to get the lone run. And I think that we should continue to keep them. And as what do you think about what I was saying about some of the pitchers not being as great as all the others?
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very close to the same pitching staff as the Blue Jays had last year, with a couple of exceptions. You know, Mike Bolsinger's here now. He wasn't here before, but Aaron Loop was here last year. And Aaron Loop gave up three tonight, and he gave up four in the game against Houston. Joe Biagini, Ryan Tepera were here last year. They got lit up in the Houston game. So, no, I think it's that the pitchers at the Blue Jays have this year aren't performing like they performed last year, and that's the big issue with these recent blowout losses, unfortunately. Thank you for the call, though. Definitely appreciate it. Yankees have just gone ahead of the Red Sox 2-1 in the top of the 16th inning on an RBI single by Didi Gregorius. They have runners at the corners, nobody out looking for more. So Yankees 2, Red Sox 1. That game is in the top again of the 16th inning. Justin is in Melbrook. Hey, Justin.
Hi.
Hi, where's Melbrook?
Melbrook is just in Peterborough. Kind of very cool. Toronto.
All right, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
What's the news on Devin Travis?
The news on Devin Travis is that he took 20 ground balls today before the game and was fine, but, I mean, he didn't really have to move, right? There's no running involved. There's very little lateral movement involved. I talked to him last week, and he said that he was feeling really great. He was surprised at how well he was feeling. He could walk, no problem, but he hadn't tried to run yet. And I think that's going to be the big thing. We'll find out how he feels tomorrow after taking those 20 ground balls today, but he hasn't hit yet, he hasn't run yet, and those are really, really important obviously things to do before he can get back in. I would not expect Devin Travis back before September, and I think if he can play for the Jays in September, that would be wonderful. I'm not expecting it, but it would be it'd be pretty good. But don't get your hopes up. I mean, he's not eligible to come off the disabled list for another month yet. But I wouldn't expect to see him before September. Marie is in Rootway. Is that right? Rootway?
No, Ridgeway.
Ridgeway. Okay, cool.
I'm actually really from Guelph, but we just moved to Ridgeway recently.
Well, you got to represent the GUE, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. What's up?
I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
I was actually on that Twitter feed you had today about women calling in. I've been listening for probably about 24 years to 590 and a number of years to yourself.
Thank you.
Plus, I've met you, pitch talks.
Nice.
And down at spring training. And,
so you should have been calling in for years already.
Twitter a few times. Oh, yeah. So, anyhow, I always listen, but I just decided I want to call in, especially when you made that mention about women calling in. I don't really bother because I listen to the calls. I find them funny and stuff. But what part I don't understand is if people keep phoning in saying they listen to you all the time and they listen to this and that, I don't understand why they keep talking about trading Osuna and Stroman and all the young guys when Mark and Ross has been very clear on their interviews recently on Sportsnet that they are in no way are they looking to do a blowout or a sellout or anything like that. They've been very clear. They've been actually quite forthright of all of that. And so have you and other writers have been. So why are people, I just don't get why they keep calling in saying that on a regular basis. And then also drives me crazy is the Gibby thing is he's a manager. And I'm thinking, you don't have to be a baseball expert to be a fan. In fact, my daughter is a big fan and doesn't have a clue sometimes. My son's a big fan and played right up until juniors. So they're different types of fans, but why bash somebody like you think the guy is going to go out there like a hockey coach?
Yeah.
And have to beat them up or smack them over the head when they don't understand it's not his fault for any of this. If they're not pitching well, they're not pitching well. They're not hitting. It's been over and over and over and over again on your calls. I'm just wondering, with all your experience, it's just like it is what it is, or just been lately, it's been a lot worse than it has been normally.
Here's what I think. I think that people are going to hear what they want to hear, whether it's said or not. And it's certainly that's, you know, true, not just in sports fandom, but in anything else. You can hear the exact, you can have two people with differing viewpoints hear the exact same sentence and interpret it completely different ways. And when you hear something that confirms your worldview, whether it's true or not, you're likely to believe it and turn yourself around into whatever you need to in order to make yourself believe it. And when you hear something that doesn't confirm with your worldview, you're not going to believe it, even when it's true. So that's, you know, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins can say they're not having a fire sale. I can sit here and say that there's no point in the Blue Jays trading They're good young players. But one guy will say it on one show, or someone will see it on Twitter, or and all of a sudden they believe it because that's what they want to believe. And I really do think that's why those calls do keep coming and those opinions are still out there. And look, it's sports. It's sports fandom, and there are a lot of different ways to be a fan. And like you said, there are a lot of different knowledge bases of fandom, and you don't have to be an expert to be a fan. And you know, sometimes the more expert one gets at something, the more the less of a fan they become. It sort of drills that out of you because people want to believe in that athletes are superhuman, and people want to believe that there are guys who can really clutch it up in a big situation. And on this side of the border, certainly a lot of people have been raised in hockey and raised in the culture of coach as motivator, and a great coach can get you to be better than you are and to perform at your peak and all that stuff. And you know, while that's true for continuous sports like hockey and basketball and football, where motivation means something, where will to win means something, where you can actually win by outworking the other team and wanting it more, doesn't work that way in baseball because you can never take the ball away from the other team. They get their 27 outs and you get your 27 outs. And part of it too is the fact that there are a lot of ex-coaches and managers in the media, and it is in their best interests, obviously, as ex-coaches to talk about how important coaches are and how much of a difference they can make. So I think all of that feeds into it.
Okay, that's a great answer, because it's one thing that bothers me. Every single call, every time I listen, it's, you know, I'm a great fan. I went to the first game that they played 40 years ago, had my daughter 2 months before they went, right before it started, and went off to the game. But I'm a big fan, but I'm also a player, and I coach baseball for midget boys. But I just can never understand why people just don't take it all in and understand it is what it is, and just enjoy the game, enjoy the ups and downs. And this Fire Gibby thing drives me crazy, because I think John Gibbons is an amazing manager. He does a great job. He's low-key, can be a bit annoying, makes some mistakes, but so does everybody. So, thank you very much. That's a great answer. I really love it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate the call. Absolutely. And look, I think, you know, I don't want to get down the road too much as far as grander societal issues in the 21st century. But I think that a lot of people have lost the ability to think critically, and a lot of people just don't care to think critically, to listen critically or anything. They want to listen for things that they want to hear and get angry when they hear things that they don't want to hear. For some reason, it's become, what's the right word? Smart has become a bad thing in our society. The ability to have your mind changed is seen as a weakness, which to me is insane. And all those things, you know, contribute to this. There seem to be people out there who are willfully and proudly ignorant. Not just in sports, don't want to learn about things, have had enough of hearing from experts, and they'd rather make up their own minds than understand things from people who know it better than anybody else. And I'm not talking about me here. I'm talking in the broader sense, like science and stuff. So I think that's where we are right now. Maybe we always were, and social media just makes it louder. But I think that's where we are right now, which has nothing to do with the Blue Jays losing 11-1 to the Detroit Tigers tonight. So let's get back to that, shall we, on Blue Jays Talk. Donald is in Las Vegas. Hey, Donald.
Mr. Wilner.
Hello.
Can you hear me? New car audio system, and you're my inaugural call.
I am thrilled and honored. Thank you for giving me that privilege.
Wanted to talk about left field and, by an extension, Gibby. And first of all, on Gibby, I just don't understand the I love him or I hate him. I don't understand why he can't just be a good manager who has strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
Or anti-Gibby.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I mean, I love him.
But last night, you know, I was frustrated. I really want to see Pierce get a good long run in left field. And he gets the three hits and he gets pulled for Zeke. I don't know if that was for defense to protect the lead late or if it was because the Tigers changed pitchers. But either way, I didn't understand that. He had three hits, a home run, and
it was
see him be the everyday left fielder, you know?
He's going to be the everyday left fielder. If he's going to be the everyday left fielder, he's still getting pinch run for in the eighth in close games. And that's what happened yesterday. I think Carrera is probably a better defensive outfielder than Pierce. Zeke has more brain locks, but he's also got more range and a bit of a better throwing arm. So I think you're going to see Pierce replaced defensively by Carrera in when the Blue Jays have the lead late, and you're also going to see Pierce pinch run for when the Blue Jays have the lead late.
That's what bothers me about Zeke, I think he has a lot of value. He's a good asset. But when you bring in what's supposed to be an energy or a spark player, you're assuming that you're bringing him in, that he's going to be a plus defender over the guy you're taking out. And
he probably is.
He's going to be a plus base runner.
And he is.
And his skills just don't translate. He's got the speed.
Yeah.
But he's just not a significantly better outfielder, and he's not a significantly better base runner for what you would want to be bringing in at that point.
I'm not sure that's true. Over Pierce, I think, you know, if you had a Dalton Pompey as a base runner that you could put in there, then you're getting a significant improvement. But I think Carrera is clearly better than Steve Pierce at both those things. But I think, you should be, your side's winning because Pierce has started the first two games out of the All-Star break, both with a right-handed pitcher on the mound facing the Blue Jays and a very good right-handed pitcher. So to me, that's a clear indication that he's going to get a good run in left field more often than not.
Well, and then to contradict myself, you know, watching Pierce in left field today, there were two plays I thought could have been more competitive. While I do want to see him get a good long run as the roster is currently made up, I don't consider him to be a legitimate left fielder. And I did see a legitimate left fielder on the field today, and boy, wouldn't he look good in a Blue Jay uniform.
You talking about Justin Upton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not looking at his contract right now, which I think is pretty scary, and he hasn't been the hitter
that
it would be. I would love to see J.D. Martinez come here. He's up at the end of the season, so to come here and play left field.
Move Bautista to the left in that situation, right?
No, I think Bautista would still play right. He's got a better arm than Martinez, okay. And neither of them are rangy at all. But I still want to keep Pierce's bat around, which is the problem. Justin Smoke wasn't supposed to be this good. And so, completely take over first base. Pierce was supposed to share time with him there. And obviously that's not going to happen now.
But to relitigate what we've previously discussed.
You got 15 seconds.
We don't have a left fielder.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unfair. I think Steve Pierce can be a perfectly cromulent major league left fielder. And teams have certainly won championships with left fielders who are not as good as Steve Pierce is at playing left field. I don't know if that's the biggest thing. We're back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern for the pregame. Marco Estrada, Anibal Sanchez. Thanks for all the calls. Blue Jays lose it 11-1 today. We'll see you tomorrow.